بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. قد قال تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمد مبارك وسلم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من صلى علي صلاة واحدة صلى الله عليه بها عشرة، كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم، رب زدني علما، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear respected listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep everybody safe. And in this blessed month of Muharram, Allah allow us to gain maximum benefit from this month. When thinking about what to recommence these lessons with, being the month of Muharram and with the month of Muharram, though Islamically speaking, historically speaking, was not in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam associated with anything other than the deliverance of Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wassalam from the grasp and clutch of Fir'aun, and commemorating that occasion with fasts. In today's climate, the month of Muharram, and especially the 10th of Muharram, Yawm Ashura, is synonymous with the tragedy of Karbala and the martyrdom of Sayyiduna Hussein, the beloved grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of this synonymous nature between the two, and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being of such significance in the Sharia, that even our daily litany of sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our prayers, that Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, incorporate sending the salutations upon the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how important the love of the Ahlul Bayt and the family alongside the Sahaba Kiram Ridwanullahi ta'ala Mijma'in is in Islam. I thought it apt that I speak to some degree on the immediate family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from the immediate family, the focus initially will be on the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mothers of the believers, and how important their biographies are, the lessons that we learn from their relationship with our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and the immense significance that Allah Himself has bestowed upon the mothers of the believers, the Azwaj al-Mutahharat. And there is much to discuss, and we will try to cover whatever we can over the next few sessions, inshallah, to gain a better understanding of the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. The first point that I want to mention, the concept of the mothers of the believers, the notion of Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. What does that mean? What does it signify? So the notion of Ummahat al-Mu'mineen is understood in a hadith recorded by Imam Bayhaqi rahimahullah, that Masruq, he relates that a woman said to Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, that, "Oh mother," so she said, "Lastu laka bi ummin, innama ana ummu rijalikum," that "I am not considered your mother, but instead I am the mother of the believing men." And what Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha was establishing through this point is that the concept of being the mother of the believers is not in terms of hurmat. It's not in terms of the believing men and women do not have to have any form of parda and veil between themselves and Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. But instead, this notion of Ummahatul Mu'mineen was the hurmat of being haram. That once a woman came under the nikah, or under the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then alat ta'abid, for eternity, it would not be permissible for any individual, even after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to marry that woman. And so that is what Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, that this ruling of Ummahat al-Mu'mineen is specific to the men. Khair. Who were the women that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed nikah with? And once we go through the names and their lineage, then inshallah we'll discuss some of the immense noble things that have been mentioned about them in hadith and the lessons that we can learn from them. Initially though, we look at, on a collective basis, how significant the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, the blessed wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated to their acceptance in terms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this very world. So in a hadith, which has been validated by the likes of Hafiz ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani, amongst others, that Hind, the son of Hind ibn Abi Hala, narrates from his father that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah aba li an atazawwaja aw uzawwija illa ahli al-Jannah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it forbidden upon me that I marry or am married to anyone except Ahlul Jannah, a person from Jannah. And what this hadith tells us is that any of the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, whoever was given this immense, noble blessing in this world of being from the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, from the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated towards their acceptance of being Ahlul Jannah in this very world. And it's at this junction that we have to remember the key principle in Islam, is that in a general way of speaking, all of the Sahaba kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala majma'in are absolved of any wrongdoing because Allah has stated in the Quran, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. So it remains impermissible for anybody to speak ill of any of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then you have certain people from the Sahaba who were more select, and they were specifically discussed by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their virtue and their nobility was then mentioned specifically by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you have the general rule of the Sahaba kiram ridwanullah ajma'in being above our tongues, and that we are unable, it is not permissible to speak ill of the Sahaba kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala alaihim ajma'in in any way, shape or form. In fact, in the books of Aqidah, the books of theology, and that note out what makes a Muslim a Muslim, lifting one's tongue in a blameworthy manner against the Sahaba kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala alaihim ajma'in is in fact a threat to one's own faith. So to speak ill of any of the companions is in actual fact very damaging, if that being the least, that it could lead to one's actual faith being eradicated by Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And then you have the select from the Sahaba Kiram Ridwanullah Tajma'een, like the Ashara Mubashara, the 10 that were given the glad tidings of paradise specifically in one gathering by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that in itself is not to negate the virtue of paradise for the rest of the companions. This was an incident where the Prophet ﷺ selected a few companions to make mention of them, of being from the gardens of paradise. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already absolved the rest of the Sahaba kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala majma'in in the Quran. And then you have the likes of the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about in the Holy Quran. So we then understand from this hadith just how accepted the Azwaj al-Mutahharat are, that they are from the inhabitants of paradise. Number one. How many Azwaj al-Mutahharat were there? How many women came under the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And here the historians do differ in terms of the number. But what is absolutely agreed upon, then the difference is whether there was less or more, but the absolute, not less but more, but the absolute agreement is upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married, and these women came into the nikah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, totaling 11 women. From them, two of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whilst the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive, two of his wives passed away, and nine were in his nikah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's leaving this very world. So an agreement on the number of 11. Then you have Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala was mentioned, recorded from Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, that in total there were 15, Allahu alam. But what is completely agreed upon is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married 11 women. They were in his nikah. Two of these wives passed away in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and nine were alive when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world. So what we are going to do is take a quick look at the lives and lessons for these 11 women in question, inshallah. These 11 wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like I said, there are tremendous lessons. Each one of these wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be a role model for us, whether in terms of their zuhd and abstinence of this world, whether in terms of their pursuit of knowledge, whether in terms of their dedication to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So today what I'm going to do is just simply mention the names, who they were. And then from the next lesson onwards, we will have a somewhat deeper discussion of these significant wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, significant individuals who happen to be the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the 11, six of six of these women were from the Quraysh. So their lineage, their ancestral lineage, meets with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some in two or three generations, some after four or five generations. But they are all Qurashi women. Who were they? Number one, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, radiyallahu ta'ala anha wa ardaha. Khadija was the daughter of Khuwaylid, the son of Asad ibn Abdul Uzza, and here after this they meet with Ibn Qusay, which meets with the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she happens to be the first wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all children bar one in one narration and in another two were born by Sayyidina Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha wa ardaha. Number two, also from the Quraysh, was Aisha bint Abi Bakr as-Siddiq. So Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an huma, the son of Abu Quhafa, who was Uthman ibn Amir, the son of Amr ibn Ka'b ibn Sa'd ibn Taym ibn Murra ibn Ka'b ibn Luwai, and this is where the lineage meets with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ancestral lineage. Number three, Hafsa bint Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Hafsa, the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab, the son of Abdul Uzza ibn Ribah ibn Abdullah ibn Qurt ibn Razah ibn Adi ibn Ka'b ibn Luwai, and this is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lineage is met. So three so far: Khadija al-Kubra bint Khuwaylid, Aisha Siddiqa bint Abi Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, wa Hafsa bint Umar ibn al-Khattab. Hafsa, the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Number four, Ummu Habiba bint Abi Sufyan ibn Harb ibn Umayya ibn Abd Shams ibn Abd Munaf. Ummu Habiba, the daughter of Abu Sufyan, and there you understand the family connection with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of Abu Sufyan, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number five, Ummu Salama bint Abi Umayya Hind ibn Suhail. That Ummu Salama, the daughter of Abu Umayya. Abu Umayya, also later on in the lineage, he was Ibn al-Mughira ibn Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Makhzum ibn Yaqadha ibn Murra ibn Ka'b. And this is where the lineage meets with the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ummu Salma was the daughter of Abu Umayya. Abu Umayya was one of his appellations was Zadul Raqab, that he was known as the provisions for the travelers. And why? Is that he was known as a very, very generous individual. And if he ever traveled, then anybody else in the caravan were told not to bring their provisions because Abu Umayya would provide the provisions for everybody. So that's why he had that nickname as well to go along with that. Khay. So that's number five, Ummu Salama bint Abi Umayya. Number five, Sauda bint Zama'a ibn Qais ibn Abd Shams ibn Abd Wud ibn Nasr ibn Malik ibn Amir ibn Luwai, and here we meet the lineage and ancestral lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Sauda bint Zama'a, number six. So that is six Azwaj Mutahharat, and they come from the Quraysh. And so because they come from the Quraysh, they meet in terms of lineage with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the ancestral line. Four women min ghayri Quraysh were from outside of the tribe of the Quraysh. Zainab bint Jahash, okay, number one, Zainab bint Jahash. Number two, Maymuna bint al-Harith. Number three, the second Zainab, Zainab bint Khuzaima. Zainab, the daughter of Khuzaima ibn al-Harith ibn Abdullah ibn Amr. And number four, Juwayriya bint al-Harith. Juwayriya, the daughter of Harith. So 6 and 4 makes 10. So there's one wife left, and she was she was not from the Quraysh tribe, not from another Arab tribe. She was a non-Arab woman, and she was from Banu Israel. Her name is Safiya bint Huyay ibn Akhtab. from Banu Nadir. So the Jewish tribe Banu Nadir, from them Safiya bint Huyay ibn Akhtab radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was the 11th in question here, that from the Azwaj al-Mutahharat. 6 were from the Quraysh, 4 were outside of the Quraysh but of Arab descent, and 1 was non-Arab, and that was Safiya bint Huyay ibn Akhtab. So these are the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, in which there is no dispute that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam married them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his lifetime saw 2 of his wives depart from this world. They were Khadija al-Kubra, Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and Zainab bint Khuzayma. So from the 2 Zainabs, Zainab bint Khuzayma, she also left this world in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The rest were alive when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed from this world. Now, in terms of who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married, the order, again, there is discrepancy. I'll mention a few traditions, a couple, and we'll leave it at that, inshallah. Qatada, one of the great mufassiruns of the Quran, he mentions that Khadija al-Kubra, which is undisputed that she was the first wife of the Prophet ﷺ, was followed by Sauda, who was followed by Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, who was then followed by Ummu Habiba radiyallahu ta'ala anha, then Ummu Salama, then Hafsa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, then Zainab bint Jahash, then Zuwayriya, then Maymuna bint al-Harith, then Safiya bint Huyay, and finally the last wife to marry the Prophet ﷺ was Zainab bint Khuzayma, though she left this world in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Another, Abu Ubaidah Ma'mar ibn al-Muthanna, he mentions that after Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Sauda married the Prophet ﷺ in Makkah al-Mukarrama, then Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha married the Prophet ﷺ 2 years before Hijrah, Ummu Salama married the Prophet ﷺ after the occasion of Badr at Madinatul Munawwara, then Hafsa married 2 years, the second year of Hijri, then Zainab bint Jahash in the 3rd year, then Juwayriya in the 5th year, then Ummu Habiba in the 6th year, then Safiya, then Maymuna, then Fatima bint Shuraih, which is disputed, well, not agreed upon, then Zainab bint Khuzayma, then Hind bint Yazid, then Asma bint Nu'man, and Qatira bint Al-Ash'ath, and these again are not agreed upon. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, throughout his life, obviously he married these women, and the order is disputed, so we'll leave it at that. But what we do know is the first wife to marry the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Sayyidatuna Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So what we'll do next, inshallah, is in our first official session of understanding the Azwaj al-Mutahharat and this part of history of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is we will speak about Khadija bint Khuwaylid, who she was and what she meant to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only was she the first wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she is the only wife wherein the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not remarry in her lifetime. So inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, then we'll go into some detail in relation to Khadija al-Kubra, the lessons that we learned from her life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of you the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khayran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.